Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Hi, I'm Larry Mueller, and really pleased to have with me in the studio today Patty Nagai of Sturtevant, Wisconsin, the Racine County UW Extension Horticulture Educator, and Mike Maddox, Rock County UW Extension Horticulture Educator, who works also out of the Rotary Gardens in Janesville, Wisconsin. I doubt that there's a question that they can't answer. You might try to stump them, and or maybe you just got a question you think they can answer, and I'm pretty sure they'll be able to do that. There's another answer man with me today, and that's Jim Packard. And Jim, it's our spring membership drive. We're here to ask for support from our listeners for Wisconsin Public Radio. And we want you to make your pledge of support at WPR.org, or we want you to call and make your pledge at our toll-free number, 888-202-2552. And Jim, we have a big goal this hour.
We have a goal of $5,000, Larry, that we're charged with raising. Plus, we have a challenge grant, though, to make it a little easier. The first $500 that are pledged this morning during the show will be matched dollar for dollar from Skupnowitz Painting and Wallpaper. So if you have a pledge in mind, why not give us the call right now and make sure that your pledge is matched from this grant from Skupnowitz Painting and Wallpaper. So you can give us a call, be the first to get us started, and do that online at WPR.org, or call us toll free at 888-202-2552.
888-202-2552. You know, every Friday, this program is devoted to one of, I think, the favorite pastimes of public radio listeners, and that is, of course, gardening. And each week we have a different guest expert with a gardening specialty who joins us to answer your questions and does a great job of it. Today we have two people for you. Some of our guests are horticulture professors who can answer a pretty wide variety of general gardening questions. Otherwise, we have folks who might specialize in lawns or trees or maybe vegetables or native plants. We touch on organic gardening a lot, and certainly a lot more topics as well. And we also cover things like the environment on other shows and consumer issues. We've got some great how-to topics. We've got Wisconsin authors. We've got Wisconsin food. We've got travel. Jim Packard, I can't believe all the things we do. You get a lot of great information from this program, so we want you to support it with a pledge securely online at WPR.org. Or call us toll-free at 888-202-2552. We've got that $500 challenge grant, and we want to meet that.
We do indeed, and we know that it's one of the most important decisions that you'll make today, whether you want to be a listener or whether you want to be a listener contributor. Here's how you make it happen. You click and join at WPR.org. You fill in the form. You'll be done. Or call us at 888-202-2552. In just about 3 minutes, you'll be helping to pay for the great news, information, and entertainment that you get from Larry Mueller and from Wisconsin Public Radio each day of the year. It's WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Either way, you'll be doing your part.
Have you ever noticed when you haven't been able to listen to Wisconsin Public Radio for a while, whether you're on vacation or maybe you're camping or you're out of range or something? That sometimes happens when we're driving up and down the interstate or on the side roads. And it's always a good feeling to get back into range. We've got those familiar voices and that familiar theme music for some of our programs. And that's when, you know, you've got to have Wisconsin Public Radio in your life. At least that's the way I feel about it. The way to keep it there is to support it with a financial contribution. Make your pledge securely online at WPR.org or call us toll-free at 888-202-2552. We've raised $170, a long ways to go, but we're on our way to meeting that challenge grant.
Indeed, we've got the $5,000 goal, Larry, for the program, with the first $500 matched dollar for dollar from a grant from Skupnowitz Painting and Wallpaper. So why not make your pledge right now and have it double, because Skupnowitz will match it. And all you do is either go online at WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552 right now and make your pledge.
Absolutely. We want you to be a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. We want you to be a contributor. So call in now at 888-202-2552. Jim, go back and tend the garden for a few minutes here while I talk with Patty and Mike. And certainly take your calls at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. Patty, it's nice to see you in person. I'm always talking to you on the phone.
I know. It's very nice to be here.
It's really great to have you here.
Thank you.
What's going on in Racine County?
Well, we've been comparing plants, and it seems like we're a little bit behind in the southeast quadrant of the state. We've got a few things that aren't moving along quite as fast as they should. Our dogwoods are a little slow to come out. Our daffodils are a little bit slow. Our tulips are slow. We had so much snow also, just like you did here
right.
in Madison. So.
Yeah, and Mike's probably been the same for you.
Well, I feel like I've been just trying to rush to keep up on top of things right now. That cool spell we've had this week, I was actually kind of thankful for. It kind of slowed down some growth and to allow me to try to catch up on some of the things that need to be done at the community gardens. We're out there this week trying to catch up on planting to get some seeds in the ground because we're a little overdue for those.
Yeah, things are a little behind in some respects.
Well, I'll tell you what, caller's online, and okay. Dick and Mosinee is up first. Let's go to Dick. Hi, Dick. Thank you for calling.
Well, good morning.
Morning.
I got a challenge for your guests.
Oh, no, it's a challenge.
What you mentioned at the beginning. No,
I thought the challenge was to get people to be members, not to stump us.
Well, let's try it. What have you got for us?
Okay, a number of weeks ago, and I'm not going to guess, time goes so fast, you had a guest on, and a caller called in and said that he had a problem with his apple trees, or I should say with his apples. They disappeared from the ground and all around, and he was wondering if he had any idea what animal or whatever would pick them up so cleanly.
Yeah.
And I got the same thing. Within the last 5 years, I had three different trees where, when I went out to pick them one morning, when I felt they were ready to pick, there wasn't an apple on the ground. Now, I have both deer, bear, and turkeys around here, but they don't clean them up the ground and not leave a single one there. And so that was such a mystery that I thought it must be human beings coming over there because I can't see my trees from the house and in a wooded area. And so I put a no trespassing sign.
Because they can read if they're animals.
Yeah, okay. I guess so.
All right.
And the next couple of years were okay. I thought, sure enough, that now the human beings aren't coming in here. Then it started again for the last 2 years. But that tree plus two others, they pick them up otherwise they leave.
They leave a little, but in this case, they're picked clean.
They're picked clean.
Now, is this a complaint that they're not there for you to pick up?
Is that please?
Are you complaining about this?
Yeah, I am.
Well, he wants yard work.
He wants the apples off of the ground.
Right. He wants the apples off the ground. And also, I'm sure there's a fair amount of curiosity as to what...
I know the answer.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Well, Patty?
Mike may disagree with me, but...
Let's hear it.
You're probably not going to believe this, but I have seen it. So I'm pretty sure it's squirrels.
Ah, yeah?
And during years of low nut production, squirrels will go pick apples and carry them back into the woods with them and try to bury them just like they do nuts. Take them up to their nests, they put them in trees. And I've seen squirrels actually take entire apples.
And carry them off.
So do you have a lot of hungry squirrels out there?
Yep.
Yeah.
And they probably can't read your signs.
So I do not doubt you a bit on this. I think it could well be squirrels that mm-hmm. would be cleaning off every single apple.
And I know I have a crab apple tree in my yard that the squirrels, during those years, and we've had several years recently where the nut production has been reduced. Mm-hmm. Mike could probably comment on that more. Mm-hmm. But the squirrels just go crazy in my crab apple tree. When the nut production is down.
We have same issue. Our neighbor's got a crab apple tree, and the crab apples just disappear. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're gone. So
it's very amusing to watch, but probably not so amusing for Dick, who's lost all of his apples. So.
Yeah. Well, Dick, there's the answer. Good luck. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Jackie in Poissippi, I believe, is up next. So let's go there. Hi, Jackie.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a neighbor, my next door neighbor, that has an overabundance of creeping Charlie.
Mm.
He fertilizes his yard a couple times, maybe three times a year. And it's I have creeping Charlie too, but I don't have it in huge patches like he does.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like at the lot line,
yep.
it's not as heavy on my side as it is on his. His whole backyard is just solid creeping Charlie.
That's what it's sort of like the squirrel thing. Do you think that the creeping Charlie knows where your yard starts?
You're probably doing a better job at taking care of your lawn than your neighbor is.
It'd be no, we just cut it. That's it. We don't fertilize at all.
You don't use any herbicides?
Nothing.
Well, maybe difference in light. Do you have more light in your lawn or in your yard than the neighbor does?
No, not really. Because I have a huge crab apple tree.
Do you look at it crossly? I mean, you know, it's always fun listening to what people have to encounter in their yards because there's all these oddities and like, why is this and not that?
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, some of it we just don't have answers for. We can try to make stuff up for you.
No, but I will tell you that Creeping Charlie is a very persistent weed mm-hmm. that if it is happy, it will be there for a very long time and completely take over. And so I always tell people if they're not going to use herbicides to control it, they just need to learn to love it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was imported into this country as an ornamental ground cover. And that's what it does. And it does it really well. But it prefers shadier sites. And so if there's, and Mike was getting at that, if there's a difference in light levels from one yard to the other, and even a slight difference in soil type might affect how well it grows in his yard versus your yard.
And since you brought it up, for anybody else who'd be listening, if you are wanting to spray it, you just don't spray it with anything. You want to make sure you find a product that's going to have dicamba, 2,4-D, and mecoprop in it, and to use it judiciously. You just don't go out there and just spray it haphazardly. Go in there about the time it's in peak flower. Put on your application of your product then, and then I would wait again until after the first frost and do another spray. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be the most effective use of herbicide if you're going to use it.
And Mike mentioned this, but it's really important to follow the label directions because any product that contains dicamba cannot legally be applied to your yard more than twice a year. Mm-hmm. And there's a good reason for that because dicamba hangs around in the soil for a long time and it can be taken up by woody plants. So if you over-apply, you can actually kill a lot more than your ground mm-hmm. ivy or Creeping Charlie.
It's amazing stuff, that Creeping Charlie. You know, in our lawn now, we've got a shadier part of the lawn mm-hmm. is shadier than the other. And, you know, we got it there in spades
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and the shadier part. And
it's beautiful, isn't it? It's a beautiful little ground.
And I had a gentleman in this week and he was saying he was having Creepy Charlie. And I thought, well, is it in the shade? And he goes, no, it's in full sun.
Yeah, it's adapting.
Yeah.
It's adapted to a lot of the herbicides, too, and that's why you have to have a product that contains all three of those chemicals, because it is not...
Dicamba.
2,4-D.
Okay.
And Mecoprop, or MCPP.
MCPP.
A lot of times it's sold under some sort of name, like Trimec or Three-Way Leaf Killer, or it's going to have some allusion to the three products in there
right.
in the
mm-hmm.
name. But read the label and you'll be fine.
Good luck to your neighbor and good luck to you in keeping it away. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Mike Maddox and Patty Nagai, our guests today. Mike Rock County UW Extension Horticulture Educator. Patty Nagai is the Racine County UW Extension Horticulture Educator. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my two guests, Mike Maddox and Patty Nagai. And Jim Packer joining us as well, and we are back to ask for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's easy to do. We just want you to go online at WPR.org. Make your call toll-free at 888-202-2552 and put a vote in for Garden Talk and our guests today. And Jim, we do have a goal.
We got a goal of $5,000, Larry, for the full program. And we have a $500 matching challenge grant from Skupnawit's Painting and Wallpaper so that the first $500 pledged this hour will be matched dollar for dollar from Skupnawit's Painting and Wallpaper. Why not make your call right now at 800-888-202-2552 or go to WPR.org. That's secure online. It'll just take you a couple of minutes, and you'll be on your way.
You will be on your way. And I think we have a reputation here at Wisconsin Public Radio for providing quality programs, programs with some substance. And as you can tell, if you've been listening here, we have a good time, too. We enjoy what we're doing here. And when you pledge your support, you can be sure that you're contributing to a nonprofit organization. It's stable and sound. It's an organization I think is worthy of your donation. And listener contributions have really helped keep us strong in the past. Your pledge today will help strengthen our future. And certainly, it's a great vote for Garden Talk here. Every Friday, we bring you Garden Talk programs. And I know it's very popular with many people. So pledge your support now. Vote for Garden Talk securely at WPR.org or call us toll-free at 888-202-2552.
Larry, when you pledge $10 a month or $120 a year, you receive the Wisconsin Public Radio member card. It's easy to use. There's no paper to clip or coupons to tear. Keep the card in your wallet and present it for two-for-one deals at about 260 participating restaurants, more than 50 B&Bs in Wisconsin and Illinois, and many other cultural attractions. With every use, you'll be reminded of your relationship with WPR. Pledges of $120 or more receive the member card. You can pledge securely online at WPR.org, or you can call us toll-free at 888-202-2552 and help us meet our goal.
And I've pledged and received that member benefit card, and I have more than paid for it in the money I've saved with the trips around to various restaurants around Wisconsin, as a matter of fact, across the state. But as I think about the Ideas Network, we've got two networks, of course, and our Ideas Network where we are, I think we give you some great information, some great advice. It's unique in the country. Did you know that? Have you ever benefited from the advice you've heard? Maybe found yourself hovering around the radio, drawn into some discussion that we've had, or are you wanting to find out the answer that Mike or Patty have given in terms of their gardening? You need to get somewhere, but that discussion is really interesting, so you want to hang around. Well, I tell you what, if you're that kind of person, you are the kind of person we want to have pledge. Pledge your support and appreciation for the Ideas Network. It's securely online at WPR.org, or it's toll-free at 888-202-2552. We still have to make that challenge grant of $500 that we've got from our painting and wallpaper folks. And Jim, we haven't met that goal yet.
We've not met that goal, so the next $300 will be included in that. So if you pledge at $120, that means that pledge will be worth $240 with this $500 matching grant from Skupnowitz Painting and Wallpaper. We don't get the grant unless we get the money, so you can make sure that that happens. Plenty of ways to say it. You can pass the hat, you can pay the cover, you can buy a ticket. The request is still the same. You pay for what you use, and you can do that right now for Wisconsin Public Radio. Go to WPR.org. It's easy, or you can call 888-202-2552, and someone will take your pledge. The price is whatever you decide. It could be a dollar a week, or it could be a dollar a day or more. You choose. Call 888-202-2552 or go to WPR.org and do it right now. Thanks.
Appreciate all of the contributions so far, but we still need to hear from you. And I hope you'll call in now with a contribution. And it's a vote, too, for Garden Talk here on Wisconsin Public Radio. That number again is 888-202-2552 or go online to WPR.org and do it while you're listening here as we talk with Patty and Mike. And you know what? We have more callers online to visit with you, two experts. And here's Amy in Cross Plains. Amy, hello.
Hi. I have two questions for you. The first one is, the deer got really bold this winter and turned my globe arborvitae into like mushroom topiaries.
Yeah.
I love that look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, really. So are they going to grow back and fill in, or what should I do?
Well, that is a good question.
I think you should even out the top of them. Go ahead and prune the tops up, because I have seen this on golf courses in the middle of the summer where they still haven't grown out. And I can't even say on public radio what they look like. It's just not
very... Are they 6 or 7 feet tall? And
yes, and they have the little mushroom top. Yes, it's not a good look. You probably... Mike, you're more the woody plants guy than I am, but I would take a stepladder and get up there and shear the tops of them.
Well, I'll tell you what we did at the Botanical Gardens, because over the last 2 years, we've been hit by deer really hard, and pretty much the whole bottom 5 feet of our arborvitae hedges have been made transparent.
Ooh, that deep into the wood?
Yeah, we've actually have been ripping those out. Because we're not expecting them to grow back or grow back in a timely fashion that would be up to our aesthetic standard needs. Mm-hmm. So if you've got one small, young globe arborvitae, you might wait, see if it does break bud. But if it doesn't do it after a year...
Yeah, and I guess what I was looking at on these were very tall arborvitae. They were probably 12 or 15 feet tall. And the deer had... as far as they could stand on their hind legs, I guess, is how far up they had pruned them. But they had not pruned them all the way back into the dead zone area of the wood. They still had some green. So they actually did bud out and they started growing again. But you could tell exactly where they stopped chewing.
Yeah. I think a little explanation about arborvitae and yew and some junipers is when you get to those shrubs and they get to be of size, you'll notice they'll have a green zone on the outside, but if you peek inside, you'll see a brown zone. When you prune those or have deer feed on them, wherever it is green and they're doing feeding, you'll probably get bud break and get them to grow back. But if they go beyond that zone into the brown zone or the dead zone,
forget it.
They're not coming back. No.
So you're going to have to look at it, see if they did go that far back. If they did, it may not come back at all. If they didn't, you might have a chance to get something back and then do, as Patty says, just kind of even out what's remaining to try to make it look pretty.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Yep. Thanks a lot for calling, Amy. We planted 5 Saskatoon serviceberry plants this spring, and those are getting nipped, not by deer. I assume it's probably rabbits. You think my wife has got the visions of spreading coyote urine all over the place. Is that going to do any good, do you think?
For a day or two.
Yeah. Whenever it comes to animal control, you need to do a variety of things and keep it diverse and keep it random. The coyote urines from like the hunting stores are a good way to go. The liquid fence is a good way to go. You hear people say put out human hair.
Garlic oil is the new one too. Yeah. And I haven't tried that one yet. One of the ones that I've used for rabbit pretty successfully is the waxy pepper spray or the hot pepper wax. It goes under a couple of different names. And that one's a little bit longer lived on the plant material because it is embedded in a wax. And so it sticks around for a while. I've used that really successfully on perennials. I don't know how well it would work on the woodies because, once they bite the woody, they're it's done.
Well, I thought it was a little early to be planting that, but planting those plants. But we may be planting again. Who knows? We'll see. In the meantime, I think we'll try a few of those things. Mm-hmm. You're right. I think a little variety.
Oh, that's
changing things up a bit.
Well, the repellents, all of the repellents, they're just they're short-lived because the animals adjust to either it's a smell or a change in something, they adjust to it.
Yeah.
And so you have to try a lot of different things.
Try a predatory owl, something visual.
A real coyote would work. Nicely.
Yeah, a real coyote. Oh, yeah. If I had one, then I could, then the coyote would eat it, It'd just be my luck. Randy and Merrill will go to you. Hi, Randy.
Hello. I'm planting some apple trees this year.
Okay. What kind are you planting? Oh, did we lose
him? I think we've lost him.
Uh-oh.
And now we don't know what his question was. It just had something to do with apples.
Apples. Well, I'll just, as an aside, not knowing what he said, UW Extension has a really good publication on growing apples in Wisconsin.
Yes, we do. And we have a smaller publication on pest management for homeowners. So apple pest management for homeowners. Both of those publications are available on the learningstore.uwex.edu
and
website.
And we have some other ones, too, about apple cultivars for the northern part of the state, apple cultivars for the southern part of the state.
And one on rootstock so that you can see all of the different rootstocks that are available for apple trees.
Jim Packard is telling me that in addition to that, and that's all great information. He didn't want to know any of that. No.
That was not, didn't cover his question at all, did it?
Actually, those publications would help. But he wondered if in the Merrill area, if a Red Delicious would grow well in the Merrill area.
It might, but I would choose a different variety, personally.
Yeah.
Red Delicious it's an okay apple, but there's so many other ones that are so much better. Mm-hmm. And there's some new ones that are more disease resistant.
If it doesn't come in a pie, I'm not really very familiar with my apples without the publication on hand. Oh,
well, the one that most people want to plant right now is Honeycrisp, but I'm not sure if that'll grow up there.
I'm not sure either, but it's a great apple. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Okay, he needs to send us an email, and then we can do some further research on it and figure out which variety he should be growing.
Yeah, and I wonder, in those publications you talked about, aren't there some suggestions?
There are. And the one publication for northern Wisconsin, they have all of the different cultivar recommendations in
there.
Okay.
So right now, so just go to the UW...
learningstore.uwex.edu and click on fruit. And you can get into all of the great apple publications. We have so many excellent fruit publications.
And the thing is, you can just read them right online or copy them off or whatever.
You can print them right offline and no charge.
Dee Dee in Buffalo City, it is your turn. Hi, Dee Dee.
Hi there.
Thanks for calling. What can we do for you?
I have a question regarding some trimming I want to do.
Okay.
We spend a good part of the winter in Florida, and when we get back, we're not sure whether we can still do what we want to do. I have some yews that need trimming and some potentilla needs trimming.
Well,
Is it too late?
Both of those, definitely that potentilla, you can probably do your pruning on it now. I mean, it's potentilla. It's going to
You can prune it anytime. Yeah. It'll be fine.
And then for the yews, are you talking about just giving them some shearing and some shaping?
Some rather serious shaping. They're nearly 20 years old, and I have trimmed them from time to time, but I think I need to trim them a little more severely right now.
You might want to remind her about the dead zone.
Yeah, well, first of all, to go with the timing, as Patty mentioned, you're probably a little early for that. You want that to start getting some growth on it, and then to shear it then.
Please, I'm not hearing you very well. Could you get a little bit... Could you speak a little more loudly?
Well, I think we're talking about as loud as we can talk here.
All right.
You'll just need to shear it back within the green zone of it. As I said earlier on the radio, wherever it's green, you can shear. But you don't want to go too far back into it, because once you have a brown zone appear, it's probably not going to break bud.
Well, it's the same thing applied to the arborvitae, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And you're probably, if you went out and did it now, would be doing it a little early. You'll want to do it when it starts growing in the next month or so, getting that vigorous growth in it. You could probably do it once in May, once in June, and that should probably set you for your needs for this summer.
Mm-hmm. And good luck. And thank you very much for calling, Dee Dee. Appreciate your call. And we have some open lines again, so you can join in at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890, talking with Mike Maddox, the Rock County UW Extension Horticulture Educator, and Patty Nagai of Sturtevant, Wisconsin, Racine County UW Extension Horticulture Educator. And let's turn to Margie in Mount Horeb. Hi, Margie.
Well, hi there. Thanks so much for having this garden talk. I love you guys. Every week it's something new and something much informative for us. The gal with the arborvitae, they did the same thing to mine.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it 2 years ago and didn't get all the way back to the dark, to the wood, but I put evergreen fertilizer on it. Mm-hmm. And they're back beautiful.
They've grown out.
They're back, and I really fertilized them, probably more than I should have. But,
yes, and probably you have all that lush new green growth that they're going to eat off this year, too.
No, because you know what I did?
Did you put
I
up a big fence?
I found a product that I can use to spray on it.
Oh, what's that?
It's called Deer Off, and you have to mix it. And you don't have to mix it, but I get the kind that you mix. And I spray it on, and it lasts for about a month, even through the rain.
Okay.
It works on my tulips. It works on everything that the deer love to munch. And I've found anyway so far. I've been using it a couple of years, and it's been quite successful.
Excellent. I like to hear success stories when it comes to repellents because we hear a lot of problems with repellents. So yeah. It's always nice to hear when something works. So you've got your deer well trained now.
Well,
so that's
trained.
Good.
Well trained. They're in the yard all the time, but they're staying away from the things that I don't want them to eat, and I plant enough of the others so that we're sharing.
Good.
They said, look, lunch.
Yeah.
Or a midnight snack, as deer have a tendency to do.
Yes.
I have a question about bindweed. I had a little bit in one of my beds.
A little bit goes a long way.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's done, and it's everywhere now.
I'm sorry.
It was just, oh, my goodness, it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. Oh, did I say deer away? It's deer off.
You said deer off.
Yeah.
Deer off, okay. Anyway, the bindweed is everywhere now. It went from one small bed on one side of the yard, and I have no idea. Can I Roundup that? Or
well, if you use a product like Roundup, which contains glyphosate, you're going to kill everything.
Oh.
So that doesn't just kill weeds. It kills anything that's green
yeah.
and growing. So you have to be really careful with products like that.
And you could use that, but you can paint it onto the leaves directly of the plant you're aiming for.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because I can get – they're just starting to come up. I was working in the beds yesterday, mm-hmm. and it's just starting to peek its darn little
right.
head up, and I thought, well, you know, if I could get something to just spray on just that leaf.
Last year, did it flower? Little white flowers?
I tried to get through the whole bed and pull everything off
okay.
before we got to
if you ever got to flower in seed production
yeah.
with it, you, in addition to painting an herbicide onto the leaves of the plant, you might want to put down a pre-emergent herbicide into the soil to keep the seed from germinating.
Does that keep all seeds from germinating?
Yes.
Well, I don't have a lot of seed plants. I have mostly perennials. I don't plant a lot of seed things unless they're in one specific bed.
Mm-hmm.
So the pre-emergence work, what is that? Now, what kind is that?
There are many, many different types and brands of pre-emergent herbicide, and they will be labeled as such, pre-emergent herbicide, or it might very simply say keeps weed seed from germinating.
Okay.
But in truth, it keeps all seed from germinating. So, and Roundup actually makes a product that contains pre-emergent herbicide in it, but you can buy just pre-emergent also.
The issue is, you've already commented on this, you already see them poking up.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Putting your pre-emergent on now will not work
too late.
For you.
Well,
yeah.
It would work for next year. Or it would work if she allows them to flower again this year, because bindweed will germinate throughout the year.
Well, there's just some strategies you need to do. Think about it before you put the product down, because the plant that has already started to grow, the pre-emergent won't take
yeah.
care of that.
I've seen bindweed take over to such a great extent that it actually gets all through the lawn.
Oh,
and
it's starting to head down into the lawn. You're
yes, and it
right.
will spread all through your grass. And once it does that, it actually will flower and set seed, and then, you know, you'll have it.
Forever.
Forever.
Oh, dear.
And if you like that look, I mean, some people like little white flowers in their lawn, and it's, you know, wow, what is all of that? I've had people call and say, I've got this beautiful little white flower all throughout my lawn.
Oh, no. I don't think that's where I'm at. It climbs up all of my Asiatic lilies and lilium.
Yeah.
And it's just...
yeah, and a lot of people will get it in their shrub beds, and it gets all up into the shrubs, and it's just a mess.
Yes, not fun. There's another plant I have here that I'd really like to get rid of, and I'm not sure how to. It's called Bouncing Betty. I think that's what it is anyway.
It sounds like you just drop kick it out of the yard.
Yeah, I'd like to do that.
No,
that's a seed producer too.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
So you're looking at sort of the same.
I have to just keep pulling it.
Oh, just, I couldn't possibly pull. We have about 3 acres. And I have thousands of plants in one spot.
You could move.
Yeah, this does not sound...
That sounds like a lot.
Sounds like a lot. I don't know what to do.
Well, you know, you can use herbicides to get rid of things like that. You just have to be very careful about how you do the application and decide what you want to do. Do you really want to get rid of all of these plants and start over? Do you want to try and selectively get rid of specific weeds and maintain others? Sometimes people go into perennial beds and they will lift their perennials and get them out of there and then use a product like glyphosate and completely kill everything else
start
that's in the bed
again.
And start over. So,
Bouncing Betty is not yet, thank goodness, in any of my flower beds. But it's in the lawn.
But it's in the lawn. Well, a broadleaf herbicide should take care of that for you.
Mm-hmm. Good luck, Margie. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And let's go to Judith in Phillips next. Hi, Judith.
Hi. My husband would like to put down some fertilizer and grass seed at the same time. That's not a good idea, is it?
Oh, no, that's fine. Fertilizer and grass seed, sure.
Yeah, just as long as it's that fertilizer doesn't have any pre-emergent herbicide in it,
yeah.
As we were saying.
That would be a problem.
Yeah.
No. Now, I would put down one, and then I would put down the other. I would not put them into the same machine and try to hand crank it out at the same time.
Right.
But no, if it's a starter fertilizer with the grass seed going down, I don't know of any issue.
Okay. No, in fact, it's usually recommended when you put down grass seed that you also put down a starter fertilizer, because in the starter fertilizer, for those of you who are in phosphorus restrictive areas, starter fertilizer does have phosphorus in it, but the turf grass specialists do recommend that when you're putting seed down, you add additional phosphorus in the fertilizer. Even if you've got high phosphorus levels in the soil, the developing seeds will need a lot of phosphorus, so it's very helpful to use that starter fertilizer with phosphorus.
Well, very good.
Thank you very much for calling.
I'm glad I called
them. Thanks a lot for calling. And let's see. We've got Debbie, I believe, and Nina with a question. Hi, Deb.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Thank you for calling.
I have a question. I have probably about 12 Black Hill spruces in my backyard.
Okay.
And they're all staggered by, 12 feet or whatever they are.
Mm-hmm.
There's four of them that have turned, the needles have turned reddish brown.
Mm.
Not like the entire tree,
but just parts of the tree.
At the bottom or the top. And it happened once before. We had to replace them.
Yeah. Can be, and doing a radio ID like this can always be tricky, but we want to kind of figure out a little more on what's causing that. It can be whenever you get the purpling or reddening of the needles, it can be a nutrient deficiency.
Okay.
It can be a disease that has gotten into it, or it could be the remnants of winter burn.
Okay, this happened before the winter.
Or drought.
Okay.
May want to just take a branch off and get it into the disease diagnostic lab or to your local extension office and have somebody with a trained eye take a look at it. Okay. So you're just not doing a shot in the dark for a remedy.
Sometimes photos help also. If you can stand back and get whole tree photos and then some close-up photos showing the area that is affected.
Okay.
You also get seasonal needle drop, but this sounds more extensive.
Yeah, no, it's progressed over the trees. Now, when I called the gentleman that had put them in, and he said they don't like a lot of water, but when I go online, it says they like moist areas. We have very soil, and we do have a sprinkler system. And I thought maybe the water's just pooling in these certain areas. It's not all of them.
Do you think that the water pooling is associated with the trees that are showing symptoms?
I haven't seen the water pooling, but I do know it. We're in a neighborhood that this used to be farmland that had a lot of water issues. I don't know if that particular area is a drainage area.
How were these trees planted? Were they containerized? Were they ball and burlapped? Were they spaded?
They were spaded.
Okay.
And they did not have the metal container on them.
Okay. There could be just, I throw that into also transplant shock, because if it was done in the last couple of years, spaded trees can be fairly large. And they take some time to get acclimated and to get roots established in that site. And one of the problems that may be, and you need to look into this, is maybe if you're on farmland and you have one soil type there and what was spaded in was a different soil type, you may have some water relation issues. Where water's going more one way than the other, causing some root problems. I think you probably got something that's a little bit more complicated than what just looking at a branch could answer.
You might want to have an arborist come out and look at those.
Maybe that's an idea. You know, I tried going out with a white piece of paper, shaking it, seeing if anything came out.
But
I didn't see anything.
That's good.
All right. Now, if it was recently transplanted, I think I would always gravitate towards the simplest answer, and it's probably something associated with that. Probably it's going to be no one's fault for it. It's just something when you're transplanting a living organism, some make it, some don't.
Good luck. Thank you, Deb, for calling. Appreciate it. And Richard and Hubertus, we'll go to you. Hi, Richard.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thank you for calling.
Hey, listen, I really appreciate this program because I know almost nothing.
Well,
I bet you know more than that.
More than you think. So,
well, let's put it on channel now. I've got some what DNR has told me is white pines, and they've got rust all the way up.
White pine blister rust? Would that be
probably
a lot of oozing on the trunk?
Sorry.
Oh. Yep. I tell you what, there's not a lot that can be done when you have that situation, is
no.
there?
I don't think so.
No, it typically is fatal.
Yeah.
It's a really
That's
nasty
sad. That's sad. That's why we got the collective groan here in the studio. Yeah. It's just sad.
What if you, all right, let's say you have to get rid of those white pines then. And I don't know, how many have you got? A lot, Richard?
I've got, yeah.
Oh, 10 or?
10, 15.
10 or 15.
Are these pretty good-sized trees?
Yeah, they're about, 13, 14 feet.
Well, they'll make some firewood.
I was going to say, before I tell anybody to
cut
remove anything,
Let somebody come out and look at it.
Yeah, I would get a second opinion. Not saying the DNR doesn't know what they're doing, but just before I give you a recommendation to remove a tree and invest any money like that for a removal, have it, spend the $15, $20, get it diagnosed through the disease lab for a second opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get that confirmed or denied, and then based on those results, continue. If it is
right.
going to come back as white pine blister rust, there will be recommendations on how to dispose of it mm-hmm. properly and how to proceed with your life and replanting
right.
in
yeah.
that area.
And you can send a sample into the Plant Disease Diagnostics Clinic yourself. And as Mike mentioned, it'll only cost $15 to $20 to get a complete diagnosis and recommendation. Or you can have a certified arborist come out to your property. That'll cost you a little bit more. Could cost you $75 or so to have them come out and do the sample for you out there. But you might get some other advice while they're there. So.
Yeah, while they're there. So good luck. Not the greatest of news, but let's get it checked out. And thanks very much for calling. Larry Mueller here with my two guests, Mike Maddox and Patty Nagai on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here and Jim Packard joining us now for just a couple of minutes. And the reason he's here and the reason I'm here is to ask for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's easy to do. We've heard from Judith in Madison, who listens to Wisconsin Public Radio all the time, loves the gardening shows. Donna thinks in Eau Claire thinks the show's fantastic. Karen in Jefferson loves listening to the station, especially the garden show. What about you? Give us a call with your support and a vote for Garden Talk at 1-800-1-888-202-2552. Let me give that again. 888-202-2552 or go online to WPR.org. And Jim, how are we doing?
We're doing pretty well, Larry. And you're a little modest because Donna thinks that Larry's fantastic, not the program. And we have to agree. We've got a goal of $5,000 for the program, and we have $500 so far, which means that we've matched Skupnowitz Painting and Wallpaper for their $500 challenge.
That's
thank
good.
Them. And thank those of you, the nine of you who have called so far to a pledge. Your pledge will help us meet our goal of $5,000 for the program. So make your pledge right now securely online at WPR.org, or you can call us toll free at 888-202-2552.
And Jim, we've had one new person who's never pledged before, and that's kind of nice. And I'd like to hear from some more of you. If you've never pledged before, what's it like? Well, it's a short process. It takes about 3 minutes. You answer some basic questions, your name and address, how much you'd like to donate, and how you'd like to pay. You can do it by credit card. We can send you a reminder. You can do it monthly. But make that first donation to Wisconsin Public Radio. You're going to feel good about it, supporting Garden Talk and supporting Wisconsin Public Radio in general. So go to our secure website at WPR.org. You can call us toll-free at 888-202-2552 to make your pledge. And make it now during Garden Talk. We have a goal of $5,000, as Jim says, and we've got a ways to go to reach that goal.
No, Larry, when you think about it, you'll find that you spend a whole lot more each day for things that you value less. A $10 contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio is just a little over 30 cents a day. So spend a little right now and get a lot in return. Click and join at WPR.org and do your part, or call 888-202-2552. Either way, you'll be investing in a service that you use day after day.
And you might be saying to yourself, well, I'll call next time. I don't need to call now. Well, it's really important. Maybe that's what you said the last time. It's really important for you to call in now with your contribution. Public Radio here on Fridays, it's a garden a community of people who love gardening, who come together to ask questions. We've got great guests who come in and make radio worthwhile to you. You're with us in spirit. Now it's time to be with us in fact. And if you like to wait until the last moment, well, this is about it. Go to WPR.org or call now toll-free at 1-888-202-2552.
You know, during the pledge drives, we hear Wisconsin Public Radio is listener-supported. We say it on the air many times each day, and what it means is this. We rely on listeners for a significant part of our financial support. In fact, it's the most important part. So during this drive, we're asking you to call 888-202-2552 and contribute what you can help us to pay for programming. When you choose to make a leadership contribution of $1,000 or more each year, as Larry does, you'll support Wisconsin Public Radio in a significant way. You'll be providing resources for Wisconsin Public Radio to achieve our mission. So click and pledge at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. With your pledge of any amount, your call has never been more important.
Wisconsin Public Radio programming is a good thing. Here are some listeners' reflections in their own words.
People don't realize how lucky we have it here. I do think you do a fantastic job. I love your programming. Thanks for the late night news. Thanks for Michael Feldman.
Express your appreciation to Wisconsin Public Radio by making a pledge. Here's the number to call.
That number to call is 888-202-2552, 888-202-2552. This is a very short pledge drive, so it's your last chance to show your support for this particular program and to show your support for a Garden Talk, because next week we'll be right back to our normal programming. And maybe you find that Wisconsin Public Radio is like a companion during your day. We've heard some people who say they have it on almost 24 hours a day, whether you're at home or the office with other people, or maybe you're just relaxing. But I think like a good companion, you can count on us for interesting information, for great news, for some intelligent talk, for wonderful guests like we have today. In our two guests, Mike Maddox and Patty Nagai, who done a wonderful job. Both have been regular guests on our Garden Talk programs. Support Garden Talk now with your contribution.
You know, the goal is $5,000, Larry, for the full program. We've got a ways to go to meet that goal. We want to thank people who have pledged, like Judith and Madison and Donna in Eau Claire and Karen and Jefferson and Julie and Nina. And we notice that one thing about them is that they're all female.
So yeah, that's right.
There, I know that we've got male gardeners out there who call in and who also receive the benefit of the advice that they receive every week on Garden Talk from people that we have with us today. Mike and Patty are just two of the examples of the kind of guests that you can expect to hear on a weekly basis on Garden Talk. So make your pledge right now. Whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Thanks for all of you who have pledged so far.
And thanks very much to everybody who's pledged so far. But really, we need you now. Because you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, you hear the voices of people who are really making the news, who are really the people who are out there with the cutting-edge information, people like Mike Maddox, people like Patty Nagai, and all of the other great guests that we have on Garden Talk. And I really think they inspire me quite a bit. I hope they inspire you a little bit, too. You get to hear a lot of great information on Garden Talk. Why not contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio and Garden Talk today? Because you listen and your pledge is very important. So call us now at 888-202-2552 or go online to WPR.org.
You know, it only takes a couple of minutes to make your pledge. In the time that it takes to get a cup of coffee, you can complete your pledge to WPR, whether you pledge online at WPR.org, or you can call us at 888-202-2552. You'll be done in a flash. That pledge takes only about 3 minutes or less to complete. The rewards last all year long.
And I tell you what, the rewards for Garden Talk, it's my favorite day of the week, actually, week in, week out. We have lots of great guests every day of the week. But for some reason, Garden Talk, and I think it's the community of listeners, of Garden Talk listeners that we've developed, you are part of that community, and I hope you'll join in with your contribution. We're certainly going to be talking some more with Mike and with Patty, but and we'll be breaking for news here in just a second. But call that number now, 888-202-2552, and make your contribution here on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. You're listening to Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest Mike Maddox and Patty Nagai, both with UW Extension. They're horticulture educators, Mike in Rock County and Patty in Sturtevant, Wisconsin, Racine County. Really glad to have them with us, and glad to have the old gentleman gardener Jim Packer joining us as well. It's our spring membership drive, and we're here to ask you for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. We want you to make your pledge of support at WPR.org or call us toll-free at 888-202-2552. We've got a long way to go, Jim, but we've made progress.
We have indeed, Larry. A goal for the full program of $5,000, and in that first hour, we raised over $1,000, so we've got a little less than $4,000 to go in this half hour, and we want you to call right now and get us started. Make your pledge online at WPR.org or toll-free at 202-2552, and Larry, I'm suggesting $10 a month.
$10 a month is good, and I you know, there are people out there who might even be able to say, you know what, I could pay $1,000. There are people who contribute $1,000. I've done it myself, as a matter of fact. So I know it can be done, but I tell you what, it always, you know, it's always something I think about. What converts somebody who listens to Wisconsin Public Radio into a contributor, go from a listener to a contributor? I think one of the reasons is a deep concern about the community, a concern about gardening and interest and excitement in gardening. Many people who give tell us that Wisconsin Public Radio is very personally important to them. I've had master gardeners tell me that they tune it in. They even get continuing education credits for listening to Garden Talk on a Friday. And it helps them help others in their community. And, you know, so we're doing some community work in that way. And we're a community-involved radio station. So I want you to think beyond the value you receive. Think about the value Wisconsin Public Radio delivers to community. Think about how your gift right now makes it possible for anyone to discover and benefit from Wisconsin Public Radio. Then become a member. It just takes a few minutes of your time. You're not only doing something good for yourself, you've done something good for the entire community, and you've put a vote in for Garden Talk. So make your contribution now at WPR.org or toll-free at 888-202-2552.
You know, Larry, people may not realize how contributing to Wisconsin Public Radio is easy. If you've never done it before, here's how it's done. When you contribute online at WPR.org, you just fill in the blanks. When you call 888-202-2552, we'll ask your name, your address, phone number, and how much you'd like to give. We'll ask you how you'd like to pay. Now with a credit card, or we can send you a reminder in the mail. One thing we promise you is that we will never sell or trade your name and address. That's kept private between you and us. That's it. You go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 right now.
Do it right now. And let's talk a bit more from a gardening standpoint. We've been talking a little bit about fertilizing and making things grow a little bit. I was thinking about that as we were talking, and think, you know, we need to fertilize, we need to supply a little bit of money in the form of fertilizer to make our Garden Talk program grow a little bit. We really try to get the best, most up-to-date content for you, the best guests to provide you with great coverage of Garden Talk information. We've got a useful website at Wisconsin Public Radio. We have a fair amount of expense in technology that we have every single year. And as a matter of fact, a lot of this stuff goes on behind the scenes. You don't think so much about, well, the software to make our equipment run here, but actually it costs us a lot of money to provide it. Your support helps us stay current so that the programs you depend on are brought to you seamlessly. So pledge now, securing online. You can do it securely online at WPR.org or toll-free, 888-202-2552.
You know, here's some advice about your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio. Don't put it off. Contributing to Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 takes just a couple of minutes. You'll have the good feeling of supporting this network of public radio stations and the programs that you love, such as Garden Talk. So don't put it off. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 and contribute right now.
And we have four new people who have never contributed before. That's great. If you've never contributed before, new members are critical for us. The more people who support us, the more stable our financial situation. So become a member. Call in right now at 888-202-2552 or WPR.org and make your contribution right now. And let's go back to the phones here. Mike and Racine's been waiting a little while here. So, Mike, thank you very much for waiting. What can we do for you?
I just wanted to, there were some previous discussions about some of the more pervasive lawn invaders.
Yeah.
And the success that I've had in my own yard is, I know there was a little bit of a passing mention to it by one of your guests, is I'm a big fan of Roundup. Specifically, and it all comes down to how you use it, which is oftentimes not necessarily the way it is. It tells on the bottle. A lot of these spray bottles and so forth, yeah, anything you spray with Roundup, with rare exceptions, is going to get dead pretty quickly.
That's right.
But I'll tell you, with a lot of, there's some creative things you can do. To even do a large yard, I have right on the area of the size of an acre, and I've been able to work on Creeping Charlie and a pervasive patch of spearmint, or, you know, in different parts of the yard. And some of these other ones that are kind of hard to get rid of is you can use a combination of wearing rubber gloves and so forth and some rags for some of those kinds of weeds that have the runners.
Oh, where you go out and pet the plants.
Yeah, you can pick the runners up, and then with a rag in your hand that's been soaked in the Roundup solution, just kind of run it over the runner and just let it drop. Mm-hmm. And that will kill, you know, work on your different runners you go around.
Right.
And the other thing I've done is where I've got big patches that I want to work with is you can get these paint applicators that have sponges mm-hmm. on the end, is to tape that on the end of a stick, and you can carry around a little can of your Roundup with you. And you just dip your sponge in there, kind of shake it off so it doesn't drip all over the place, and then just blot it on top mm-hmm. of the plants that you want to have an effect on. And as long as you get it on the leaves, you're going to kill that plant.
Yeah, there are a lot of creative ways on safely delivering these products. I know I will get the little foam paintbrush, and I try to go out when there's not too many people watching me, and I'll paint some leaves in my yard. Because I've got quackgrass really bad. The other thing that I'll do is when I have some, and again, for this quackgrass that comes up into my garden, if I've got a patch of it, the other thing I'll do is I'll take a small or a gallon-sized milk jug, cut off the bottom, and I'll put that over the plant I want to spray, and then I'll spray inside that container mm-hmm. so it doesn't get on my surrounding
right.
plants. I think with all products, you just have to definitely always read the label. The label is the law. You do not want to violate that. As well as you want to realize that the timing of putting down certain products is very key for the success with them.
Right, even with a product like glyphosate, which is the active ingredient in Roundup, and there are many other brands of glyphosate besides Roundup that all work the same way. They're total vegetation killers, and the way you apply them, you're absolutely right, the way you apply them is critical to the success of the product. But even with those total vegetation killers, there are certain times of the year that plants are more susceptible to death by herbicide.
Yeah.
And even Creeping Charlie, it is so persistent and it is so tolerant of many of the herbicides. Roundup often will not kill Creeping Charlie with just one application. However, if you apply it during its sensitive time, and that's when it's flowering, or after the first frost, those two times a year, that particular plant is much more sensitive to any of the herbicides, including the products that contain glyphosate. Violets are the same way, and I get the violet question a lot, too, even though it is our state wildflower. But violets are very difficult to kill, and using a product containing glyphosate is often one of the better and easier ways to do it. But you're right, the way you apply the product is really important. And the glove of death, the using the paintbrush, using mm-hmm. the sponge, those are actually labeled application methods. So it's okay to do that. But what Mike was saying is really important, that you really need to read the label and follow the label directions very carefully, because that is the law.
Thank you very much for calling, Mike. Appreciate your call. Got to stay at it. Judy in Grafton, I think, has a question for us. So let's go to Judy. Hi, Judy.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I very dutifully wrapped my apple trees this fall to protect them from the wind and all the winter elements.
Sure.
And I think I unwrapped them too late, and I ended up with the whole trunk all the way around is rotted. The bark rotted right off. I took it off about a week or so ago. I mean, when do you take it off?
That shouldn't have been that bad.
I think you've probably got something else at play there.
Okay.
Just a winter of having it wrapped shouldn't have done that to the tree.
No, there's something else going on. That's really odd. And was it a...
Both trees.
Was it one of those plastic kind of corkscrew wraps, or was it a paper wrap?
It was paper. I put the paper wrap, and then I put one of those metal mesh things mm-hmm. around it. Mm-hmm. But the paper is what was up against the tree.
And the problem is only where you wrapped it?
No, it's just a section of where I wrapped it.
Okay, well then it could well be something else.
Yeah, and you could have had a root rot going on, or the beginnings of a sun scald, or some other problem going on to begin mm-hmm. with. Or maybe that wrapping didn't protect the trees as it should have.
Mm-hmm.
I think you do have a bigger problem going on, and you may want to go to your local county extension office and try to work with the agent or master gardener there mm-hmm. to maybe figure it out some more. Take some pictures of it, bring it in.
Close-ups. And, you know, you might want to check for insect damage at the same time, just
okay.
in case.
Yeah.
You know, look for any kind of exit holes, any kind of little markings on the trunk.
So you think my trees are shot?
Well, it doesn't sound good, but I'm not sure. Again, that radio, trying to see things over the radio is very difficult.
Right,
sometimes.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much. I'll do that.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling.
Good luck.
And Dick in the town of Springfield, it's your turn. Hi, Dick.
Hi there. Speaking of Roundup, got a question about whether or not it has a shelf life. 2 weeks ago today, I put a bunch out, and then I left town the following Tuesday, which would be 2 weeks from this coming Tuesday. I don't know what the weather has been like since I left in terms of temperature or rain or anything, but theoretically there should have been 3 or 4 days of good contact, and I do know my ounces and tablespoons and gallons.
Yeah.
I've come back to town to discover that it did absolutely nothing.
What was the temperature when you applied it? Do you remember?
Low 60s.
Oh.
Probably mid-60s.
And what did you apply it to?
A bunch of miscellaneous kinds of weeds.
Okay.
Not just violets or Roundup
right.
or anything
but
like that.
I
have a horse area that has a bunch of weeds that have come up.
Mm-hmm. But they were green when you applied it?
Yes, definitely.
All right. Well,
plantains and some grasses and other stuff.
I want to take the broad question first, and that is, are products have a shelf life, and they can. You want to treat them as you would any medicine. You want to store them in a secure area. You want to avoid extremes in heat and cold. Mm-hmm. If they do get too hot or they do freeze, they can break down and degrade, and they won't be as useful mm-hmm. to you.
Many people store their chemicals in the garage, which is not really a good place to store them, because especially a liquid product like Roundup, if it freezes, it will break down.
I've kept this stuff in the basement in the winter.
Basement should be fine. Okay. Yeah,
that it should
I must
fine.
Admit it's probably 2 or 3 years old.
Yeah, should be fine.
Should be fine if it's been stored in the basement.
Even after 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you are applying that type of product, you need at least a good 2 hours on a warm day and have it applied to an actively growing plant for it mm-hmm. to work. If you did that and it, you know, then you waited 2-3 weeks, I'd have to say it did cool down for us a little bit, but I think you should have seen something.
So maybe you have a bad batch there.
I would say maybe mix up a new batch if it's from a concentrate. There could be other issues that are there, mm-hmm. but typically a 3-year-old product stored under proper conditions should still be fine.
It should be. Yeah. Yeah, but it
obviously doesn't sound like it.
No, it
doesn't sound like
there's
it.
Always.
And you know, the key temperature is actually during that time of application, because within 2 or 3 hours after applying, if the plant is actively growing and it's warm enough, that chemical, that glyphosate, should have been transported all the way down into the root system and started working even, you know, within a few hours. So those first couple of days would have been the critical time, not anything that happened later.
Yeah. So good luck, and you may have to purchase some new product and try again. Thanks a lot for calling. Mike, have you got a plant sale coming up? I wanted to mention
Rotary Botanical Gardens will be having their annual now plant sale coming up on May 17th. It's 50 different varieties of heirloom tomatoes, 250 varieties of peppers. We've got some really hot ones too this year.
Good.
If you're wanting those, as well as perennial divisions from the gardens. Also too, if anybody wants to lend a hand, from 8 till noon this Saturday, tomorrow at Rotary Botanical Gardens, will be a big plant divide. And typically, the director of horticulture there, Mark Dwyer, who's been on the show, is a little generous with some things.
Well,
so
maybe I'll come over to Janesville tomorrow.
Yeah. You don't need to do anything but show up. But yeah, we got a plant sale coming up and a big divide going on tomorrow, and we're needing volunteers for that.
And just go online. If you put type in Rotary Gardens in Janesville, you're going to get to the website, which is a nice website.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I designed it. Rotarygardens.org is the website.
Mm-hmm. All right. And I wanted to mention that the UW Friends of the UW-Madison Arboretum have a sale of native plants, the grasses, the woodland prairie, and the savanna plants, the trees and the shrubs. And that'll be under the tent by the Arboretum Visitor Center on May 10th, so that's a week, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And then Olbrich Botanical Gardens has its plant sale with the plant sale with the pros, which you get some expert advice along with a selection of annuals and perennials and shrubs and trees. And that's a week from today from 11 to 4, and the public sale from 9 to 4, and Saturday, May 10th, from 9 to 5. So that's at the Olbrich Botanical Gardens, and I'm sure there are other garden groups around the state that are doing very similar things.
You will not be for a lack of a place to shop this time of year between all the garden centers, the groups, the botanical gardens. If you want to plant,
there's a plant sale every weekend. The Southeast Wisconsin Master Gardeners have a huge plant sale at State Fair Park May 17th. So
May 17th.
2 weeks from tomorrow.
May 17th. Okay. Well, Jim Packard has joined us once again to talk. Well, we won't talk plants, but maybe we will. I don't know. What are we going to talk about, Jim? Here, I tell you what.
Let's talk about planting the seeds.
Let's plant the seed. We'll plant the seed of an idea in your head right now to pick up the phone and support Wisconsin Public Radio with your contribution. Easy to do. Go online to WPR.org or call us toll free at 888-202-2552. And Jim, we've raised some money.
We have indeed, Larry, over $1,600 in. Our goal is $5,000, so we've still got a ways to go. But we do want to thank people like Yvonne in Milwaukee, who's been a faithful caller, and she's also a contributor. Dale in Cornucopia finds himself listening to a Garden Talk and likes Larry's show. Beverly in Westby is another person who enjoys Garden Talk so much. And Brian and Lynette talk about things. Scott loves Larry's show in Reedstown. And if you like Larry's show, if you love Larry's show, then why not call in with a pledge right now and help us meet our goal of $5,000? You can make your pledge securely at 888-202-2552, or you can go online at WPR.org.
And you know, when you're supporting Wisconsin Public Radio, you're really supporting the Wisconsin idea, which I think most of us know. Bring the resources of the university to the entire state. That's just what we've done today with our two guests, Mike and Patty. They've done a wonderful job answering our questions about the garden. And not every state has an idea like this. Not every state has a quality public radio network like Wisconsin Public Radio. It's one of the great things, I think, about Wisconsin. And I know you enjoy Wisconsin Public Radio. It's something that we take a lot of pride in. So we want you to join forces with the many other Wisconsin people who have called in with contributions. We've had five new contributors out of a total of 19 calling in today so far. Give us a call now with your contribution. If you haven't contributed yet, now would be a great time to do it. Put in a vote for Garden Talk at WPR.org, that's online, or toll-free at 888-202-2552.
You know, if you listen to the program, you probably consider Wisconsin Public Radio programs worthy of your support, but you've been waiting for us to offer a thank you gift that you can really make use of. We'd like to suggest the Wisconsin Public Radio Member Benefit Card for a $120 pledge. It's a valuable benefit that you will certainly find useful. It's a tangible, year-long reminder of how grateful we are for your generous support. We couldn't produce great radio without your donation, and we're happy to send you the member benefit card as our way of saying thanks. So pledge right now, $10 a month or more, and receive the member card. You can do that online at WPR.org or toll-free by telephone at 888-202-2552.
And we're really getting down to the last 3 minutes of the program and the last 3 minutes of the drive for this particular show. And for Garden Talk, certainly it's the last chance for you to call in with a contribution and put a vote in for Garden Talk. It's a wonderful program. We love our guests. We love people like Mike Maddox and Patty Nagai who come in every Friday. We have a great lineup of guests, and I hope you'll support them and support the idea of a Garden Talk program. It's a wonderful concept. We've been doing it now for a long time. I know we have a very big audience at 11 o'clock. It's a community of listeners. I mean, everybody's kind of listening alone for the most part, but you're all over the state. Wherever you are, you know that there are a lot of people just like you who enjoy talking about gardening, hearing about gardening. Support us now. Support Garden Talk at 800. I always want to say 800. Jim, it's 888-202-2552. Or go online to WPR.org. But whatever you do, do it soon.
You'll be on and off the phone in no time at all. Call 888-202-2552 or log on to WPR.org, and you'll instantly be supporting the work of Wisconsin Public Radio. If you think about it, your leadership gift of $1,000 will help pay for others who perhaps cannot afford to contribute. A $1,000 contribution works out to about $83 a month. All you have to do, click and donate at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Remember, any gift makes you a member, and any amount is welcome and appreciated.
And we're down to the last minute and 15 seconds for you to vote with your pocketbook for Garden Talk. Now's the time to do it. If you've been thinking about it, there's only a minute to go to get your phone call in support of Garden Talk. So call now, 888-202-2552, or go online to WPR.org. And thanks to Patty Nagai and Mike Maddox, and thanks to everybody for listening and for contributing here on the Ideas Net. Call in with your contribution.